On this week's show, a complete SMACNA takeover with Carol Duncan and Aaron Hilger from SMACNA. In this week's news, what's ahead for sheet metal industry?
Construction is the world's oldest industry but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, Travis Voss, imagine that. You sit down as the co-host for a SMACNA takeover. I am, for once on my own podcast, I'm outnumbered, man. So it's good to have you, buddy.
It's good to be here. Good to be here. I appreciate you asking me to sit in on this one. I might know these people a little bit, so it should be a nice casual conversation, right?
It'll be really fun to focus on sheet metal. You know, we've been, you know, talking about different trades for years. We talk a lot about the MEP. I don't think we highlight the sheet metal industry enough. So you took that to heart and let everybody know kind of what you're doing now. I think we had a little episode announcing you, but tell them what you're up to.
It's been just a little bit over a year now. I came to SMACNA as their Director of Innovative Technologies and Fabrication. Under the brilliant leadership of Aaron here, he decided that everybody needs a Travis. I think that construction technology and fabrication are kind of big things right now. And bringing a ConTech on board, I think, helps shed a little bit more light, put a little more focus on that inside of what SMACNA's doing. Having the opportunity to go from working that role inside of one large contractor to now trying to serve, what are we close to? You know, if you can count the signatories, like 3,000-4,000 contractors.
4,000, yeah.
Yeah.
4,000 to 4,500, yeah.
Primarily in North America. I'm still waiting for my invite to Brazil and Australia, but I'm sure that's coming. So you just got to fight Eli for it,
but okay.
that's right. Yeah, there's some internal battles there, some politics I'm sure that I have to work through yet. With us, we have, I'm going to go ahead and ask Carol Duncan to introduce herself. Carol is our current sitting association president. So Carol, why don't you jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing for SMACNA.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Jeff and Travis. It's wonderful to join you this morning. Carol Duncan, CEO of General Sheet Metal, been a contractor for past 42 years now. Came SMACNA president last year at a convention in October, and will be going out in October this year at our convention.
What does that really entail, being the president of an association like this?
Well, Travis, it's mostly going around and visiting chapters and attending events, getting to know the contractors and sharing what SMACNA's been doing. Learn about what they need, what their needs are. What can we add to our programming to make us more effective in the future?
So you're a little bit about learning what's going on for, you know, the contractors and guiding Aaron and Travis and the team. And we'll get to Aaron in a second on, you know, building out the right programs and the right content and that kind of stuff. But tell me a little bit about why you'd even want to donate or lend your time to SMACNA to talk about the industry. I mean, talk a little bit about being the CEO of a sheet metal contractor and what it means at General Sheet Metal to be in this business.
Well, I got started with SMACNA in 1996, attended my first convention, and realized that I was actually sitting in front of a wealth of knowledge and amazing people in the industry. My company would not be, I would not be where I am today without SMACNA and the engagement I've had with SMACNA. I can say that you get back, and people say this all the time, but it's so, so true. You get back so much more than you give. You just cannot imagine. I can't put a value on it. I've had some wonderful mentors over the years that have led me down, kept me out of trouble, got me into a little bit of trouble, but you know, I made some great lifelong friends in this industry. This is SMACNA's a unique association in that we really do consider ourselves family. There's a lot of really great people that have been around for a long time, and they're family. We've vacationed together. Heck.
It's awesome to hear that camaraderie. We've heard it, you know, at a couple of the different associations, but it's really cool to hear that you just come out and say, listen, my company wouldn't be where it is, you know, without these mentors, without these folks to learn from. And so, you know, I tease that you're donating your time, but I feel like you're probably giving back to what you've gotten. I mean, 1996, that's a long time to be involved in the association.
And it's been a joy. Eventually I'll retire and I'll miss it.
Well, the good news is you can retire, but you can come to the SMACNA. You can stay involved in the industry, you know.
There's still a place for you for sure.
And it's nice to see my daughters following in my footsteps. She'll be taking over in a few years. So it's nice to see that continue too.
You know, that's something we're going to come back to, but succession planning is a big thing. And it's something we don't talk about in contracting enough. I almost think like there's a fear of it. I don't know if it's a fear of letting go. You can think about that for a minute, because I'm gonna introduce the other person we have here so we can really get the conversation going. So, Aaron, say hello. Kind of introduce the audience to who you are. And so this is Aaron Hilger, but in introduce yourself to the folks listening.
Well, thank you. Hey, Jeff and Travis, good to see you. And, you know, Travis, I didn't know I needed a Travis as much as I did until I had one. So really glad
well, you know.
Smack the staff. And your 1 year anniversary, I think, was 2 days ago. So congratulations on that. I really appreciate the impact you've been having. So I'm Aaron Hilger. I'm Smack the CEO. I'm actually in year three of my tenure at SMACNA, although I have quite a bit of history with SMACNA. I grew up in the construction industry. My family, like Carol's family, was in the roofing and sheet metal business, so we share that in common. And I think we had some very similar jobs when we were younger growing up, before we were allowed to work on job sites and before the safety rules changed perhaps as much as they have today. So SMACNA for me, at least early on, was a great book and a SMACNA standard and something that I grew up with, you know, learning how to work architectural metal out of. For the last almost 21, 22 years, I have been professionally running associations. A good chunk of those were in upstate New York. Some of those are regional or statewide based. A lot of them were local. So I've had a great tenure representing contractors, and in particular, roofing contractors. So I was really excited a few years ago to get tapped for SMACNA, because there are, in my mind, three great union contractor associations, and those are SMACNA, NECA, and MCA. And I get to run one of them, which is pretty awesome. And it's so cool that I made the lights go out on Carol. So
I love that. If you're only listening, Carol is just wildly waving her arms, trying to get her light back on. So. Yeah.
She wasn't telling you to stop.
Right. Which would have been
better.
Don't
but
give
them a plug.
Please continue, Aaron. I think we're at a good
point. So go ahead, Aaron. You were talking about the three major contractors, which I will agree with you, especially trade contractors for sure, SMACNA, NECA, MCAA. So now your opportunity to run SMACNA.
It's an awesome organization. It has been for a very long time. You know, usually when I talk about SMACNA, I talk about some of the things we do really well. Yeah, we do standards like no other organization in the construction industry, and wide array of gray books, from the HVAC duct construction standard to the round industrial standard to the architectural metal manual and the tab manuals. You know, everything in between are really the gold standard for the industry in terms of, you know, building good, safe buildings in our space. We have a fantastic presence in government relations, and a fun little aside there where Stan Colby, who is, you know, a 40-year plus veteran now of SMACNA, I first met in 1993 when I was an intern at the National Roofing Contractors Association. And that gives you an idea of the longevity of our staff and how much they like working with SMACNA and like representing our contractors. The other thing that we've historically done really well is labor relations. We have a fantastic relationship with our labor partner, which is SMART. And General President Mike Coleman is a wonderful man to work with. And, you know, Joe Sellers was before him. So, you know, we look at the world as full of opportunities, not as full of things that we need to fight about or argue about. You know, we both would say, and when we speak in public about how we work together, that there's, you know, more than 90% of the things that we agree on. And we choose to focus on those things, not the 10% that we positionally may never fully agree on, but we can agree to disagree and move forward. I think the last area I'll touch on is, you know, how SMACNA is growing. You know, we've got staff people like Travis who have joined us with, you know, particular skills and knowledge to really grow our education programming, our technology-focused programming. And, you know, that's a change that SMACNA needed and one that I'm really excited to kind of bring to the table. And we've got all sorts of great staff from Travis and Linda Jennings to many others working on these types of programs.
Well, I want to lean into that a little bit because, you know, you've got Linda on staff, you've got Travis on staff. You're seeing a lot of changes. You're seeing, you know, with 3 years in the tenure right now, it feels like you couldn't have picked a more windfall moment to join and be in charge. I mean, that's pretty much COVID, right? The technology and this whole, I don't know if you've heard, there's this little thing out there called AI that people might be talking about right now, like technology and construction. I think it was around before then, but it really hit its stride. So talk just a little bit about how that's impacting what you're doing, Aaron, and how you're preparing the organization.
Sure. I think the technology piece is fascinating. So, of course, when I was heavily involved in, you know, direct construction and I ran my family's company when I was younger, you know, that was more than 20 years ago, you know, 22, 23 years ago. So, you know, construction technology back then was, you know, your really cool Excel spreadsheet. We have now moved on from that, right? And we have all these different software providers that do different types of things that are perhaps too many of them at times to figure out, and, you know, helping guide members to figure out what the right choices are important. But then you throw AI into the mix, right? And AI has the potential to completely change how construction operations work. And that can be, you know, things from safety and how to better, create safer workplaces by identifying hazards and then managing those hazards. It can be workflows in the project and how to manage those workflows better. The things that our grandparents did really well because they knew how to construct a building and what the workflow should be, that was in their head. Now we can put it somewhere else where they can use it. It's in all the document management and the project management that we have to do. Or for something very specific to SMACNA, it's in things like standards. You know, how do people and how will people access our fantastic IP going forward? We want them to use those standards, but we want them to use them in a way that is, you know, correct and reasonable and appropriate for the industry. And so we're learning a lot about that. And there's, you know, not a lot of folks have done this yet. So it's exciting because it's all new.
That newness has, even with bringing me on board, who's, you know, supposed to be the construction technology guru, like I was never specifically focused in AI. So one of the things, and I think, Carol, this probably came out of something that you were doing at the board meeting in the executive committee there. When we went through this process, I said, we need an AI strategy for SMACNA proper, what I would call SMACNA proper, but then also some guidance to our members. Could you talk a little bit through what that discussion was, and then we can elaborate on where we've gone from there?
I had just became aware of AI about a year ago and started dabbling in it with my brother, who's a little more techie than I. And listening to what he was doing and realizing that somehow I was missing all this that was going on. And the opportunity to engage at this. Contractors, we've been the slowest to adapt technology. It's well known that we're the slowest ones to adapt technology. And if we don't start doing something and looking in this area, we're going to miss the opportunity to be ahead of it. And contractors, a lot of them are afraid of it. I mean, you don't know what you don't know, but we needed to get out in front of it. And so that's where at the January board meeting, we brought it up and said, let's get ahead of this. Let's jump on that horse and see what we can bring to our members, because it's not going away. And as fast as it came into this industry, it's going to ramp up even faster. And it seems, I mean, maybe Travis, you're the tech guy, but it seems it's kind of slowed down a little bit. But I think it's slowing down to go faster.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And Jeff and I, and you know, among our group of, you know, we jokingly call ourselves like tech bros. Like, there's the hype cycle, right? And we've been kind of riding the hype cycle. And you have a lot of different thoughts about which way that's going to go. Is the bottom going to fall off when we realize that this thing was just the next shiny object that really doesn't pay off? Or is it, you know, are we going to be obeying our robot overlords in 20 years? You know, there doesn't seem to be much in the middle there. You folks at the board, you know, passed on that edict, and Aaron, being a good CEO like he is, passed the buck to myself and Linda and a few other people.
Well, things do roll downhill, Travis.
That's
new technology that has not changed.
So I think that it's something that I would say is exciting and a pat yourself on the back moment for SMACNA for from the board recognizing it, from Aaron and his CEO position recognizing, like, we need to have a plan and strategy. And, you know, as an association, even with the people that we have on board, so we need someone with some expertise, or at least, you know, maybe even because it is so new, maybe not even someone with some hands-on expertise, but someone who knows how to scrape the world for the information, distill it down, and provide some direction to us. And I think that's the route we're going. Would you agree, Aaron?
I would agree very much with that. You know, we don't know what we don't know in this space. And when we started interviewing AI consultants, our starting point was, you know, sort of tell us what we should know and tell us what we don't know, because we're just trying to get our arms around what all of this means. I think there are some obvious implications to technology, whether it's AI or the, you know, growing suite of construction technology that, you know, people might be using. And one of those is, you know, it's going to exacerbate the trends that already exist within the SMACTA membership or the contractors in general, right? So that we've already had this trend of the middle-sized contractors kind of getting squeezed. And they have choices to become small contractors or become large contractors. And, you know, your ability to invest and utilize technology really helps a large contractor. Much harder for a smaller contractor to do, a medium-sized contractor to do. And that small contractor can dive in and do something really specialized with maybe one or two pieces of technology in a, you know, particular market or certain area. So I think AI as well as all the other stuff we're using is going to accelerate that trend, and you'll see our members really, really change. You're going to see more larger contractors and more smaller contractors. There will be some that are very successful in the middle, that we would call middle size, that are in markets that can't support a large contractor, for instance. But I think you're still going to see those changes happen. At the same time, you also see these mega projects happening all over the country, and there's 190 of them or so that we're tracking, and, you know, 50 or 60 that are active. Better technology helps us manage those projects because they're incredibly project management intense with their schedules and ability to get things and the need to, you know, meet the schedule and get the work done. And, you know, until you've walked into a building that is a mile and change long and half a mile wide, it's hard to visualize that and then visualize what the challenge is. So we're going to see our members grabbing a hold of these opportunities, but that's also going to fundamentally change them and change how we interact in the industry.
Yeah, you hit on a number of different things there, both of you did. And I want to kind of spin it back to Carol, because I actually think your guys' decision to jump on to AI when you did, but also it wasn't like, okay, hey, go build the SMACNA AI that we're going to give to all of our people, right? You followed the hype cycle. I believe that in most cases, the reason you think it's slowing down right now, Carol, is because that hype cycle goes to the height of overexpected expectations, inflated expectations, down to the trough of disillusionment. I can honestly say, Carol, you spent 2 days in a city thanks to the trough of disillusionment. I believe that is possibly folks leaning in too soon, not understanding that the wrong automation in any way, shape, or form can kill a business, right? There is oversight for a reason. You mentioned this. Sheet metal contractors and contractors in general, we feel, have been slow to adopt technology. This is where I challenge that a little bit, because I used to think that was the case too. And I used to travel the country, you know, for the first 2 years of my career touting that. And then I looked at what y'all built, and especially sheet metal, as I got involved in fabrication and realized, whoa. You guys fabricate how much and do how much offsite and how many pounds? Like, the numbers coming out of sheet metal contractors' mouths was dropping me. So while I think maybe the classic IT technology, yes, we're construction slower, but means and methods and thought processes are changing. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, not just, you know, positioning yourselves well to grow with the market, and how maybe you take that at the general sheet metal level, but then also how you're then articulating that out into the SMACNA membership.
Well, I think at the general sheet metal level, we've always been trying to be ahead of technology. I'll say that I ran the company with my husband for 25 years, and it wasn't until another gentleman joined the company that he actually let me buy a coil line that I'd been asking for 15 years. So after he retired, I bought my laser. So I think, you know, we're trying to labor's expensive. And so anything we can do to automate our processes going forward. And it was just our board meeting last week, talking with another contractor. She's got robots coming in December. I mean, we're looking ahead and we're trying to interpret what the next best thing is in as far as, you know, trying to counteract some of the repetition of tasks that she does, especially in her businesses, are favorable to a robot. So having that done and, you know, we're looking at the laser welders. Those are coming in strong and that's, you know, the stuff that they're doing is amazing. So I think that getting out and again, it goes back to SMAC, but having conversations with other contractors and learning what they're doing helps everyone. It raises the boat for everybody.
I think that's so cool because you're going to be able to watch that robotics and, you know, learn. Maybe only a few contractors are taking the risks until you find the things that work. And,
Yeah. You
know, Travis and I hear this a lot, so I want to make sure we talk about it. It's like labor's expensive, but it's also finite and we don't have enough. And quite frankly, that, you know, there are reasons we should have a few more that we can work on and SMACNA and other, you know, these great organizations are working on it, but we're never going to catch up. Like we've already realized this in many other areas than ours. So this is not about replacement. It is about augmentation. Yep. And I think purpose, right? Sheet metal, you know, fabricators and in the field, they want to build things. They want to put in work. Right. They don't want to fill out paperwork. They don't want to do a repetitive task 90,000 times and have it sitting next to them at the end of the day and have a pile of things that are going to get delivered. Right. So talk a little bit about how that is really impacting your business and your focus, because it's not about replacing people. It never has been.
And I would ask, Carol, after you make your comments, that Aaron, you jump in, because this is part of your role then, working with SMART on how we make sure that they understand what we're going for.
You're right about the limited labor pools, and it's not going to get any better. So we have to focus on trying to be the best employer we can and trying to attract the best talent we can. I can't tell you how happy when I got my new coil line last year, my shop guys were. They love the technology. And so it excites your people when you're bringing the technology in. And you, Jeff, you're absolutely right. I'm looking at a laser welder, but I'm watching my friendly competitors all around me and the contractors in SMACNA as they explore. And again, just invited out to another contractors. Come see what we did with our laser welders. See how what we said, we ran into some problems, but let us show you what we're doing. And that's one of the beauties of this association, is being able to have those connections and make those connections and learn from each other.
That's awesome. And so Aaron, talk about how overall with SMART and the labor pool and sort of how you guys are approaching that together.
Yeah. So I think technology and labor are both resources, right? And they're things that you have certain amounts of, and they're at some level finite amounts, and other levels you can renew them and create more. I view, you know, our labor as, you know, highly skilled, incredibly valuable, integral to all of the SMACNA members and all of their operations, right? But that labor, we only have so many people of. So I want, and I think our contractors want, to use that labor in the best place possible, to use them most effectively where they add the most value to the project and to the project owner. Technology comes into that because it allows us to do more work, getting rid of those or automating those repetitive tasks. The things that really don't add a lot of value to the end product are really designed for better technological solutions. And the things that add a lot of value, we should be using our highly skilled labor for, which is what I think our best contractors are doing. You know, those who have really dove into this, you know, space are getting there. It's, of course, never perfect, but that's the goal. You know, sure, we'd love to have 10,000 more sheet metal workers tomorrow. That's not a realistic, you know, snap your fingers and it's going to happen. Despite our best efforts at recruitment and bringing more people and wanting to do more training, SMART has done a great job finding labor for mega projects. But that labor is very different than what it normally looks like. You know, we're bringing in people who maybe never would have brought into the industry before, who have no construction experience, who we are teaching a task or two in a shop, or an activity or two in the field. And if they show more aptitude, they get more training, right? And eventually, I like to call them future apprentices and future journeymen. Eventually, they become an apprentice, and eventually, they become a journeyman. And that's additive to the industry and, you know, makes us, you know, really excited. Some of those folks we're never going to keep. They're going to go work in that factory they're building, you know, down in Tennessee or in Michigan or wherever else. And that's okay, too, because we're going to get the labor we need out of them for a period of time. And they'll still be friendly to us later on. And maybe we get to work with them later in some other space.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the ConTech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more. Well, you hit a couple of things that I want you to sort of lean into, because it goes back to what Carol said on being able to learn from other contractors and kind of let them make a few mistakes. And I think it probably gets passed around, like Carol's going to make a few mistakes on the new coil or whatever yep. she gets, and they're going to make it here. But you hit this earlier, and I want to bring it back, Aaron, because I think it's an interesting time for those small to mid-market where they specialize, like you talked about, to punch above their weight, right? Yep. We think through automation, through learning from their peers, and through good technology, they can make better margins and be more competitive in certain areas, you know, not mega everywheres, but specific areas. How do you guys think that you're really helping those small to mid-sized contractors punch above their weight and grow faster than, you know, maybe they would have in a isolated chamber, so to speak?
Sure. I think the biggest thing that an association can do is try to provide a suite or a bucket of resources for people to take a look at, right? And of course, it's on them to take advantage of those resources. But we can, you know, provide, you know, really strong educational programs on technology, for instance, or information programs on AI and how you might want to think about it, or, you know, really great business management, you know, skill sets or project management skill sets that are all really important. But then you got to take that class and you got to use it. You got to send your employees to that class and you got to use it. So the association can kind of, you know, carve a path and lead people to ideas, but then they have to take that idea home and do it. And I think one of the ways SMACTA members really get that second step of knowledge is they show up at our convention. They meet each other at education programs. They interact with each other and talk with each other. I think one of our favorite things is to go look at somebody's shop. You know, how did you set that up? And, you know, why did you set it up that way? And, you know, I can think of a couple shops that I've been to in the last year or two where, you know, I stopped counting after 20 or 30 or 40 little things they did to make their work a little bit more efficient. And none of those little things were more than 2 seconds or 5 seconds. But taken together, they were a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And that, you know, compound that through the course of a year, and it's hundreds to thousands of hours. And that makes a difference in terms of being competitive and makes that smaller shop able to do more work, more complex work, or larger work. And the same thing for a bigger shop too. They just do it on a different scale.
I would say another opportunity is with SMACNA started helping the contractors form peer groups last year.
Yeah.
That has been a huge, I was a member of a peer group and started in 2000. I mean, again, that's another great opportunity. And for SMACNA to help facilitate that, because it has been, I can't tell you how many people would come up to me and say, how do I get into a peer group? How do I get into a peer group? And so for us to take that on and help contractors get into them, I think is, again, moving them forward.
Yeah, that was a great idea that came out of our strategic planning process that we should facilitate them. We don't really have the capacity to run them per se, but we can help bring the, you know, do what associations do well, bring people together, you know, create the, you know, help build them into groups and then find the right person to run the group. And that's what we did there. And I think we created five and maybe a six, five peer groups. And I think a sixth one is coming in the residential space, which I know they've been having a little bit of a hard time finding another contractor for or two. But, you know, that's exciting though, because if you look at many of the most successful contractors, not just within SMACNA, but within the industry, you know, they are part of a peer group. They have a group of people they rely on for information, advice, and sharing. It's more than just sharing war stories. It's a deep dive into everything they do and making them better. So, and I get to go to some of those meetings sometimes, and they're very meaningful to sit and listen in on.
Yeah, the learning from each other, that's been a kind of a common theme of what we've been talking about. And you, Aaron, you stole my little thunder a little bit, because I was going to start promoting what we have going on in the future. But maybe dive a little bit more into the convention. And Kara, I'd like your input on this too, because I think that, you know, since I've come on board, there's been a different way of building these education programs around, because we, you know, coming from a contractor myself, I shared my experience that I always found the most value in learning from a fellow contractor. So, you know, in convention sessions, in some of our future learning, it's not that we don't appreciate our associate members and our premier partners and the vendors and the software providers that we all rely on, but we want to hear their story through the mouth of a fellow contractor. Yeah. And I think that we're starting to move that direction more.
Yeah. So we've done a number of things. And if you think about, you know, conventions sort of broadly, you're going to have a mixture of speakers at any convention that are, you know, paid professionals and really good on a particular topic, to, you know, speakers that might be not necessarily a paid professional, but an industry expert in a certain area, or peers that you might learn from as part of a panel. And SMACNA has historically leaned more towards the sort of paid professional space. And there's nothing wrong with that. We provided really good content for many, many years. But this year we decided to do something very differently, which was actually a decision and a discussion with Linda Jennings and Travis and I and a few others. And we decided, instead of having the ivory tower that is the SMACNA home office come up with all these ideas and, you know, get ideas from our committees and then find folks, we decided to crowdsource that a little bit with our membership. And we asked people for proposal ideas and presentation ideas. And we got somewhere between 75 or 80, maybe 84 at the end of it. Maybe a quarter of those weren't necessarily relevant, although they might have been interesting topics. But the rest of the group were all very interesting topics and led us down a path of, you know, including some of those really good paid professional speakers, including some of our associate members and premier partners, but really focusing on contractors involved in many of those presentations. So to Travis's point, you know, contractors like learning from each other. So they want to learn about a new technology, but they also would like to see a contractor or two sitting next to them saying, or sitting next to them saying, this is what I did. This is why I did this. Even better, this is why it didn't work and what you shouldn't do. They really want to learn that. And here's what I would do the next time if I was going to do this again. So we've really incorporated that into our program this year in Palm Desert in late October. And I think it's going to be, I hope it's going to be really successful, because I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited about how you guys are building this and what you're doing there. Kara, I'm kind of interested. I want to create a little FOMO because I think what the team at SMACNA has been able to deliver coming up for the convention. And I do know this now, we had this talk beforehand. It's already full, guys. So if you didn't get in, well, you better get ready for next year. We might have to get you a bigger venue, or at least more of them rollover hotels for next year. What are you excited about, Carol, since you've been sort of on the inside of this planning for the convention?
I'm excited about the new format. We've got some new formats going on. We've got an after party on Monday night versus a pack auction that's been going on for the last 30 years. Forever. I'm excited that every year since COVID, we've been increasing our room blocks, and it seems like we can't keep ahead of it. And so even, you know, we've increased them going forward. And so I'm excited about getting additional people involved. And again, it just makes the family that much bigger and the reunion that much more fun. So I think the change in the educational opportunities this year was great. I've looked at some of the titles, and I'm excited. I usually bring three or four people from my office to the educational sessions. And again, it's not just the education. It's the opportunity for them to meet others in their same role and network and build those connections across the country. So yeah, it's sorry it's sold out, but you missed it. You got to sign up early.
Well, and I will say this. As of yesterday morning, there were three people on the wait list. So I think if you really want to come, you can get on that wait list, and, you know, because you always have a small group of cancellations and changes. So there's an opportunity still to go if you're inclined to do so.
I was going to say, if you know, you can't make it to convention and you're one of those people that does like to learn from your peers, as well as someone that likes to walk a shop, you know, we're bringing back our Fab Forum in 2025. We're going to head to Boston and Cusker Gill for that. So there are more exciting opportunities to kind of continue this journey.
And that, I'll just add on the Fab Forum piece. This is, you know, the first one we did was a year ago now. It was really the first new larger in-person event SmackDown had done in a while, certainly since COVID. I was very excited about it because I had thought it was kind of interesting that some of our peer associations do Fab Forums, but you know, SmackDown is the group that really fabs. No offense to the other associations, but this is what we do.
Back in 2020, I heard about a new software platform called Join. Within minutes of seeing Join, I knew it had the power to revolutionize collaborative project delivery. In fact, I was so sold on Join that I joined the team as its industry evangelist. Many trade shows and podcasts later, Join is now used by 50% of the ENR top 30. Why? Pre-con and ops leaders at DPR, Bolt, McCarthy, Barton Mallow, Clark, and others say that they like Join because it does two big things: collaborative, trackable decision-making, and awesomely simple visuals. Want to learn more about the power of Join? Go to www.join.build/demo to learn about how better gets built.
We make millions of pounds. We take millions of pounds of metal and make it into ductwork. That is fabrication. That is our world. So it's something that was a little overdue for SmackDown. We didn't do one this year just because of timing in terms of trying to fit the event right in the calendar, because we did the prior one towards the end of the year last year. But going forward, it will be an annual event. And I'm really excited about it. The people who went in year one had a fantastic experience and learned a lot. I thought it was really meaningful in terms of walking around and learning things. And I think we're going to keep building that.
And Carol, you could highlight this, you know, being a contractor yourself, the host learns as well, right? From having, you know, 200 people walk through your shop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The opportunity for two-way conversations is immense. And you do learn a lot. You learn a lot just from the conversations. And you, as a contractor walking around the Fab Forum last year, I brought two of my shop guys, you know, and then just, again, the interaction with member and member and people who are doing the same job that they're doing. And just that conversation is just, you can't put a value on that.
Yeah, you really can't put a value too on a set of eyes that's not in your shop every day that actually has the expertise. If I walk your shop, you know, like I'm going to think it's awesome, and I've walked a lot of shops, but I'm really not going to give a ton of feedback because I don't work on a shop floor. But I have walked shop floors and watched that interaction, watched that feedback, watch somebody just ask a question like, "Have you ever thought about doing this?" And to see you want to throw off your tour guide, ask them something like that, and they're spinning in the back of their heads trying to do two things at once when they can't. So that's a good segue into, you know, just how you learn. But Carol, you lit up when Aaron said this about, it's not just about having the contractor there that's had success. It's about the failure. And the ability for everybody to sort of lay out a failure as a learning opportunity to advance, right? You're not going to bring up, okay, this is the IT project that tanked our company and we're gone, but Aaron was nice enough to bring us here to talk about it. So you don't do it. It's really about how, look, we're not all prepared for everything we do, right? We have to learn, we have to grow. And quite frankly, if it was easy, everybody do it. I wouldn't have a show to talk about it, right? So it's hard. Talk about how, you know, especially I think how a SmackDown type event creates a safe space for you guys to talk through that, or for vendors to be open about what's working and what's not working.
Well, again, it goes back to our contractors, and everyone's willing to share. Everyone's willing to have this conversation, and everyone cares. And there hasn't been one shop I've walked through or one conversation that I haven't had that somebody didn't say, come visit, come see what I'm doing. Let me share with you what I did, or send your people. I mean, one of our contractors, again, going back to our meeting last week, she put two people on a plane on Monday to go see another contractors. I mean, that's how fast things happen and how engaged our membership is if they choose to be engaged.
You can sign up, be a member, and get nothing out of it, or you can sign up, be a member, and get all the value, right? It's really, that's where it's on you to do.
Yeah.
And I want to give you one more thing, and this is kind of for all three of you, because again, being the person that kind of gets to see this from the outside, I feel like what I've heard throughout this, and I might go to Carol, I'll let you think about this a little bit as Aaron and Travis can react, but I think what I'm learning is that the critical role of an organization like SMACNO or those other big ones, you know, great ones we talked about, MCAA and NECA, is creating a repeatable, informed framework for the organization to go after, whether that's standards that you talked about, whether that's technology, whether that's fabrication, or whether that's succession planning, the hard things that we don't do. You talked about it in peer groups, Aaron. It was like, I watched the light bulb go on. Hey, we can't do them all, but we run meetings. We run these things. We get people to get, we're really good at that. We can teach you the framework to then go do it yourselves, right? It's teach them how to fish. So I'm interested in how much, I mean, if that sort of, if you had to take a step back and look at it from my perspective, like, is that really what you guys are here to do in all areas for your contractors?
You want me to go first on that one? So,
or, yeah, you yeah, go first, Aaron. That's yeah. fine.
I'll look at it, Carol. So I think that's a good sign. So I think a short answer to that longer-ish statement question is yes, right? Associations exist to facilitate activity. And to create activity and to create leadership around things and help contractors, you know, deal with problems that they otherwise, or members, not just kind of members, that they can't deal with themselves, right? So we're in a unique position where we can draw on resources from all over the country and, you know, in some cases all over the world with our membership footprint all over the place. And we can take that information, news, and process it into digestible chunks that people can get a hold of and use, right? So, and then we can facilitate that knowledge with in-person events and activities and, you know, offering people the opportunity to connect with each other and build meaningful relationships. The hard part, I think, for associations is you have a group of contractors who get that. In our case, contractors are just members who get that. And they're really engaged. And then you have a peripheral in the next group who are, yeah, they kind of like it and they're sort of kind of engaged. Maybe they go to an education program. And then you have the other half who are, you know, members that, you know, they pay every month and thank you for that. We really appreciate it. We love the support. It lets us do all these great things and have great staff people. But they aren't getting the full value out of it because for whatever reason, they're choosing not to focus on it. Probably because they're busy. Probably because they're a small shop. You know, maybe they're a CEO that has a structure that has them very integrated to it. So they can't spend the time to do it, whether they're a large or a small company. So, you know, the challenge for us from a sort of associate, which is a little different perspective than what you started with in this discussion, is how do you engage that group? Because, you know, my interest is in building a great industry for everybody who is a member, not just the group that is engaged today.
And I think as I travel around, it's interesting to see the people that you meet at these chapter events don't always attend convention. And so you mentioned a program that's been going on for years. And the light bulb goes on and they start to get interested. It's making those connections on almost a one-to-one basis to bring that next group in. And that's where the outreach that we do with our chapter liaison program or as a board of directors member, we're just out there trying to make the introductions to other contractors that might not know what SMACNA offers. Because again, they're heads down and they're buried in the day-to-day things. And unless we can get them to poke up for just a few minutes and take a look. And once they do, I think they become more engaged and realize, again, that you get so much more out of it if you just take a chance and get involved.
And one of the ways we're facilitating that, sorry, Travis, I didn't mean to talk over you. This is, so we're, SMAC does a chapterized structure, and why, not a true chapter structure in the sense that the National Association controls the chapter, but, you know, we have chapters that we're about 100 chapters across the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Brazil. And really all of our members, virtually all of our members, come through a chapter. And what that means, though, is that their member experience is dominated by that chapter interaction, right? I mean, obviously, we send them stuff directly from a national perspective, but their first interaction with SMACNA is probably going to be a standards book, maybe, but it's going to be whatever their chapter does. And chapters vary in strength and sophistication, just like contractors. There are some that are very small and not as sophisticated, and some that are very large and super sophisticated, right? So our challenge, and then Carol alluded to traveling and being around, is, you know, for SMACNA leadership, elected leadership, like, you know, Carol and the other officers or myself as a CEO, we spend a lot of our time visiting those chapters to sort of deliver the gospel and deliver the message of the things that we're working on. At the same time, we're heavily invested in, from a national perspective, in chapter support and education for chapter executives, making sure they have the right tools to really disseminate that information.
There's another piece that that I've been working on, as you know, and Jeff can has seen this one in his travels as well, as you still have a percentage of, you have two kind of contractors that are or members that are hesitant to share. There's the ones that don't feel they're doing anything special or too small to share. Mm-hmm. So then trying to encourage them to understand, as we've talked about a lot, that you always learn something from a shop. So yeah, maybe you are a $1.5 million residential contractor and you don't think you have anything to offer a general sheet metal. I can tell you flat out that's false. Carol will walk your shop and learn something from it. Mm-hmm. And then you have another group that, you know, because we are in such a highly combative industry, that are just afraid to share because they're going to give away their special sauce. And I've been trying to get people to understand, like, yes, you're not going to completely open up your books and tell them every secret that you have, but we're all kind of doing the same thing. Like, your special sauce is in your people, your culture, yep, how that integrates into the process. So trying to learn that. And since I got on the culture aspect, and we talked a little bit about succession planning, Carol, can you elaborate a little bit more on what your future looks like there and where you're going with that?
The planned future, or the way it really is unfolding. So yeah, you always have to have plan one and plan two. Back in 2017, I met another SMACNA contractor who was doing his exit strategy, and I learned about ESOPs. And so I spent some time talking to him, started investigating. And so my succession plan is selling it to my employees. My daughter, we were 100% woman-owned business until, congratulations, your volume's too high, we're taking your certificate away. So at that point, my daughter said, I asked her, I says, well, do you want to maintain ownership or do you want to do 100% sellout? So we did 100% transaction with my employees. So that is my exit strategy. And as I sit here today, they are 100% owned, and we're working towards learning. They're learning business. So we just started a class in open book management, and the people are sitting down learning about financial statements and taking their own numbers. So it's been, I call it my science experiment to see if it works.
When Carol says 100%, it's all the employees. So contractors typically think about that. They think of their office staff. It's the field staff too. That's what makes what she's done unique and really special. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to make sure people knew that, because it's really cool. And to see an apprentice or a journeyman, you know, they got to come in on a Saturday and, you know, have the annual corporate meeting and look at the financial statement. That's a completely different mindset and game changer, which I think is really fascinating.
So, and it's a long process. I know it's a long process. And so I'm going to be around till I'm sure that process is sticking, and work with them and help them understand what just happened.
It's got to be interesting if you're out there installing sheet metal, you're installing, and then all of a sudden now you're getting an education on financial statements and understanding where your money goes. But you've created wealth over time, and now you're keeping that wealth sound by spreading it out and allowing all these folks to lean in and grow it and have an input. And Travis, I think you were with us when we've talked about this a little bit over, that's, you know, succession planning is it, 'cause it does mean your career. Or, I mean, Carol, it had to have been difficult. It sounded like you'd owned the company for 25 years plus, and to sell it, right? That is your baby. Yeah. And so that's not easy. So I'm sure, as much as you can learn a plan, you can find a peer or two. I'm sure there's been a peer or two along the way that's leaned in and said, this isn't going to be easy.
It's not easy. It's still not easy, but I go back and say, if I don't wake up tomorrow, can this company run? And that's my goal, because I've seen so many contractors not make the plan and not exit gracefully, that I didn't want to do that. I couldn't do that to my team.
I think Carol hit that on the head there because when you poll contractors and association members, you know, they will list succession planning as a top topic, right? Something you should be working on, we should be talking about. And we can develop, and we have developed, both SMAC and other groups, really strong programs in succession planning. And then you'll find it's really, really hard to fill those programs for all of the reasons Carol was getting at, which is, well, you've got to face a life change or a career change, or I can't sell my baby, which, by the way, all those things are legitimate and real, and we need to support and acknowledge that they exist. But that last point that Carol made is, what happens if I don't get up tomorrow? I get hit by a bus, or, you know, something weird happens. You know, does everybody who worked for me have a job? Does my company keep going? And it's hard to, you know, we haven't figured out the right formula on this, but I'd love to get contractors thinking about that. Almost on the, you know, if you're the kid coming into the sheet metal business as an owner, you know, you're the owner's kid, or so you're the son or daughter or whatever, like Ashley is for Carol. One of the first things you should be thinking about, in addition to how do we become great at my job, is what is my exit plan? And how do I maintain this great company? I'm going to build it and make it better, and then I'm going to pass it on to the next thing, next people. Because we know that very few companies survive the first transfer, fewer survive the second, fewer survive the third, and almost none survive the fourth. We can do better than that, because these are all really viable businesses at each one of those points, yet we lose something along the way.
Yeah. And each one of those represents blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into it. Yeah. And many times I've seen it, you know, go away. And I like to, like, Aaron, I'll help you here. We'll change it up. I always go with the win the lottery one. So if Carol won the lottery, she won the Powerball for $500 million. I don't know that looking back at your sheet metal company and making sure that, you know, the field worker being, you know, ESOP owner and trained would be the thing. You might just walk away, and who knows what happens, right? And that's rough. And a lot of folks think about it in their time and try to, you know, hope it's going to change. And hope's not a strategy. What Carol and SMACNA is creating is strategy. So I want to thank all of you guys for sitting down with me today. I wish we had more time to go through, and I think we could go on. I want to thank Carol for her light show today. It's been fantastic to have. That's great. For those of you that are tuning in online, we'll show you some of the Carol. By the way, that's a great, you know, when technology goes wrong, you need a fan in the back moving or something. So, but seriously, Carol, thank you so much for sitting down, being open and talking to me today, and, you know, taking over the show and talking about what's going on in the sheet metal world.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Aaron, thank you for all you're doing for the world of sheet metal, and for, you know, taking time out of your day to sit down with me. And, you know, and I'll just be honest, for suffering through having Travis. We all know what he's like. So, you know, good on you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And also the opportunity to just tell the great story that we're building at SMACNA.
Yeah, more to come on it. Travis, as always, my man, it is great to sit down with you and talk.
It is always great. I feel like we do this all the time, but it still never feels like enough.
It isn't, and we'll always do more. And thank you for tuning in today to geek out for our interview with Carol Duncan and Aaron Hilger. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is The Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.